This is News in No Time at Gordon. On today's roundtable, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin reveals his new evacuation plan, and the NAACP takes on the fight for affirmative action. Joining us to talk about those stories and more from our New York Bureau is E.R. Shipp, Professor of Journalism at Hofstra University, and Michael Myers, Executive Director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. Also with us, Glenn Lowry. He's a very smart professor because it has about 9 or 10 things here you do at Brown University, Glenn. And I don't have time to tell everybody about him, but he joins us from member station WRNI in Providence, Rhode Island. I thank you all for joining us. Greatly appreciate it. Let's get right into the battle that we're seeing in Detroit. We should note that over last weekend, Detroit held its annual fundraiser, the Freedom Fund dinner there. It attracts upwards to 10,000 people, and we saw Kwame Kilpatrick, mayor of Detroit, and others say they are ready to take on the fight, the ballot initiative in Michigan that aims to restrict affirmative action programs. Voters will be asked in November whether governments and university admissions programs should be prohibited from giving preferential treatment to groups or individuals based on their race, gender, color, ethnicity, or national origin. Glenn Lowry, let me ask you this. It's interesting to me because we spoke earlier in the week about how many African Americans really have sat on the sidelines and watched this immigration protest with some envy. There were those who said, oh, we don't have anything that galvanizes all of us. Here's an issue, frankly, that speaks to all of us. Shouldn't we be hearing more about this fight?
Yeah, I think so. This is important. Of course, it doesn't start in Michigan. The forces behind this initiative have succeeded in California and in Washington state. This is what a certain aspect of racial politics has come to in our time, channeling white resentment and white reaction. And while the portrayal of this as equivalent to Jim Crow, I think, is an exaggeration, it certainly is an issue which African Americans should mobilize behind and which progressives should be prepared to mobilize behind. But we have an uphill fight. Affirmative action is not a popular policy in white working class communities, even though their children have little chance themselves of getting into the University of Michigan.
Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee called it the second coming of Jim Crow, E.R. Shipp. There are those who suggest that this is a battle if African Americans and others who this affects remain asleep at the wheel. They will lose ground and perhaps lose affirmative action altogether.
Well, I think the issue is that we need to stay away from the term affirmative action when we're trying to mobilize the people and should just speak in real common language. What is it that's at stake here? Because so many people are either turned on by or turned off by or just numbed by affirmative action as a battle that's been fought for so many years. So we need to get real. We need to talk to people about what's at stake in terms of schools, in terms of job opportunities, etc. And I think if we do that, people will not see this as something that's only relevant to black people. We will see that a lot of people, including some of our immigrant friends who were marching this week, are affected by some of these policies. We will see that women, particularly white women, have been the major beneficiaries of affirmative action as we know it, and we need to be very clear about that. So I think we need to...
Are you saying, though, ER, that you have to cloak the term affirmative action for African Americans as well, though?
I'm not saying cloak. I'm saying speak
plain
English.
Well, you're saying don't use
English.
It. You're saying
I'm
don't
saying,
use that
no,
word,
No, I'm
though.
Saying, yeah, it's just, it's so loaded now that it doesn't mean anything, the term affirmative action. It's something you're for or against, but you don't know what it is. So I think just, it's not just for African Americans. I prefer the term black, by the way, because that's more encompassing. I think it's not just for us. It's for everybody who could benefit from these programs that are lifting up people who've been left behind before.
All right, Michael Myers, what does that say, if anything, if you have to, for Negroes, blacks, African Americans, people of color, whatever we want to call them today, to some degree, as ER says, and I'll use my term, cloak this term, because it has become one of those things that's numbing for some people?
Well, look, it has to be remembered that this windy racial rhetoric about the new Jim Crow, it was uttered at the NAACP Detroit Branch's Freedom Fund dinner. Now, the people who were speaking, they were preaching to the choir. The NAACP used to be an important force in America. The NAACP is now impotent. The only thing it can raise is these days is its voice and funds from big corporations and big foundations to keep talking big talk. But they don't produce the track record with respect to voter registration, mobilization, coalition, persuasion, litigation is not very good. Now, with respect to what ER said,
There will be those. I have to say this, though, Michael Myers. There will be those who will fervently disagree with
me. There are always those who fervently disagree with what I say. But the truth is the truth. Let's put it to the test. I like to debate some of these people from the NAACP.
The NAACP is not the problem here. We're talking about opportunities for African-American youngsters. NAACP is not the issue.
Well, the issue is...
We're talking about kids getting a college education out of state-supported flagship university and whether or not those youngsters from Detroit deserve to be able to get in there in some numbers. That's the issue.
May I? I mean, I heard you, Glenn. Now it's my turn. The larger issue is one of racial justice. And that does relate to the NAACP. It's also affirmative action. I don't back up from the term affirmative action because we do have some affirmative things to do in order to correct the pervasive and extensive patterns of racial discrimination in America.
I can't put that on a bumper sticker, though.
Just a second. I think we, meaning the civil rights community, have been.
What's your point?
The civil rights community have been too defensive about the use of terms. But we should not back up from quotas. There's a difference between inclusionary quotas and exclusionary quotas. So I think the important thing is that we've got to talk with people to persuade them about the racial justice behind
Here's the question that I raised from the beginning and the thing that worries me. It goes back to the idea that we actually have to convince a great percentage of African Americans that this is something that we need to fight for. That we have become so ambivalent to the idea of the importance of affirmative action that we could very well see this go away. It's not just this fight. It's a question of whether we've seen the tipping of the Supreme Court and the fight on that end of it. We just don't see the righteous indignation. And if this goes away, believe me, people are going to say, what's going on?
And the same thing with integration. People have soured on integration. They don't talk about integration anymore. They want to talk about diversity. They want to talk about other words and use other words. People have given up on integration because the courts have given up on integration. The blacks are not fighting for integration. And there are a lot of blacks now who think, look, the country has changed, that affirmative action is just a term that is for blacks, and they're looking at the browning of America, Asianization of America. So, is putting her finger on the tip of a big issue.
But I'm trying to say this. When we talk about things like affirmative action and integration in the way we're talking about it right now, we're talking about it from the perspective of academics and policy wonks, but we're not putting it real to the folks. So once you make it clear what's at stake, whether you call it affirmative action or something else, you will probably get people more mobilized when they realize what's at stake for themselves.
But they'll see it as set-asides.
But a lot of affirmative action, as we know it, has been something that's benefited a particular class of people, middle class and upper middle class, people who were prepared to take advantage of these opportunities.
It hasn't really worked, though, because those same people who sit in these corporate offices, the corner office, who drive the Lexus, etc., these are the same people when people marched on the Supreme Court, when I tried to convince them, hey, come down, show your support, they said, oh, I got to go to work.
But they
didn't understand
march.
That part of why you are at work is because you had these things in place.
I hear you, but they don't march these days. They have other ways to.
They play golf with them. Yeah, okay. All right, let's move on to something that clearly is becoming an issue as we move into hurricane season, and that is the preparedness of the Gulf region and, of course, the city of New Orleans. Mayor Ray Nagin has unveiled his evacuation plan as he is in a fight for his political life for that office. Let's take a listen to Ray Nagin this week.
We have direct lines into the hurricane center as well as coordination with the state and federal levels to make sure that we give our citizens enough time to reach safety.
Ray Nagin is saying that he is going to be prepared, whether the federal government is ready, whether the state government is ready. He's going to work with Homeland Security. He says Amtrak trains will be used to evacuate people, buses, et cetera, et cetera. How much, Glenn, is this
political fodder for him to use in his reelection bid, and how much do you believe that he has a real plan?
Well, you know, what else can he say? I mean, he is in a fight for his life. The history hasn't been too kind to him. This does have the ring of, you know, closing the barn door after the horses have gone a little bit. But based on what I was able to read about the plan, it seems sensible enough. It's just a question, I suppose, of whether the voters of New Orleans will trust Ray Nagin to administer their affairs yet again.
ER?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're quick on that affirmative action.
I know, but I'm listening to see what is there to say about Mayor Nagin.
I wanted to jump in, but I remember it's your show.
But
you keep remembering that, Michael.
Okay,
Myers.
Hold on. But, okay, Mayor Nagin is clearly uttering these words to people who he hopes will vote for him. But the truth is that the people who would need his plan are not the people who are in New Orleans anymore. So I'm not quite sure how effective his message is. He looks good on TV. It gets him more airtime to say that he has a plan. But most of the people who would need emergency evacuation because they have no other options are already gone. Mm-hmm. I'm a big train buff. People who know me know I love Amtrak most of the time. But I can't see Amtrak as a centerpiece of your evacuation plan because it's totally unreliable most of the time, too. It's good he's going to have pets on board the trains. Okay, fine. So he's saying all these goofy things that makes it sound like he has a real plan that's going to make sense to most of the people in New Orleans who need to get out. And I think it's totally irrelevant.
Glenn, here's the interesting point. He says that the city communications infrastructure is being beefed up. The contingency plans with various scenarios are in place and ready. It's almost a no-win situation for anyone who has to build this because, of course, you're only as good as the last time this happened, and no one will know, God forbid, until we see another hurricane like that.
Did you say Glenn or Mike?
Yeah, that's certainly true. But go ahead, Michael. It's your turn.
Yeah, thanks. Well, look, I have a sense of deja vu about these evacuation plans. As the ER suggested, there are people already evacuated New Orleans. And FEMA has closed its office in New Orleans. So this evacuation strategy doesn't give the current evacuees any sense of confidence about the right of return. They only have bad memories of incompetence and bad planning, including the incompetence of Mayor Nagin. Amtrak, ER is right. Amtrak doesn't work during normal times. And when I'm on Amtrak, it doesn't work. Every time I'm on Amtrak, it doesn't work. The levees are still not fixed.
And what about those trailers?
And the officials are praying for good weather. I mean, how many billions of dollars do you need to spend?
Well,
and
but again,
how much time do you need to say?
It's easy to say what isn't. Here's a man trying to get a plan in place. He has to do this, right?
He's trying to get elected.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. The plan is not in place. The plan that you had before
was
can't
be in place until it happens. We know that. So he says it's ready. That's all we can go on until it has to be put in action. Hopefully it won't have to be this year.
Well, if he's
going to
rely
on Amtrak,
guys,
we're going to have to go through
it.
This since you malcontents didn't want to talk about the soda situation in schools. You'd rather talk about more problems with the government. And that's the question of whether or not we're seeing Homeland Security monies by states being spent correctly. Many people taking a look now at Georgia and whether or not monies that had been promised, upwards to $12 million in this case from Washington, were being spent the right way. It's supposed to be supposedly securing areas like the CDC and other things like that, and now we're finding out that these monies may, in fact, have been spent in one instance for a plainclothes agent to photograph a handful of vegan activists handing out anti-meat leaflets in front of a honey-baked ham store. That alone is treason, Glenn.
God bless ham.
Well, you know, if there's a general point here about public administration, which is the government decides to declare war on something, billions of dollars are appropriated, but then it's doled out to local agencies which have their own agendas. Mm-hmm. There are bound to be abuses, but there obviously needs to be oversight. And it also underscores the point for me that, you know, this war on terror has real potential for us to do damage to ourselves as well as the terrorists to do damage to us, do damage to our institutions, and do damage to our values. And I think that this is one of the areas where we're seeing that.
That's very true.
Well, I actually wanted to talk more about the war on drugs and the hypocrisy of Rush Limbaugh. And
okay, but you have to do that a little bit later, Michael. But, you got less than a minute.
But there's the, what's happening with the terrorism thing here now is the whole issue of the surveillance society. There are cameras everywhere watching our very movements, our associations. Police domestic spying is now less restricted. The courts have empowered the police. They're photographing and videotaping our demonstrations and the people with whom we demonstrate. They're creating blacklists of people you can't hire, blacklists of people who can't come into the country. And the big foundations and the big corporations are telling charities that they have to check blacklists before they associate with people. This is a heck of a violation on a massive scale of people's fundamental civil liberties in this country in the guise of a war on terrorism. We Americans have become, in the eyes of our government, terrorists.
ER Ship with about a minute to go.
How do we follow up on Michael? This is the thing. Again, how do we make it real to people? We make it real to people to say you should be worried, not just about Bin Laden and all the Al-Qaeda types that we're told we're worried about, but your next door neighbor may be photographing you on behalf of the sheriff's office. As you said in the setup, people who were vegans were being videotaped. Now, what possible threat on the surface are they posing? Nothing really. So I think people need to be aware that our own civil liberties are at jeopardy as we claim we're trying to make the world safe from terrorism and people who are not into the whole democratic ideal.
All right. Well, ER Ship wants to make it real. So if they close down Honey Baked Ham, it's going to be a whole lot of folk mad. Glenn Lowry, ER Ship. And Michael Myers. Thank you so very much. Greatly appreciate it.
All right, Ed.